Good morning, church. It's good that the weather is more normal, that we can drive safely and quickly to church. So good to see everybody back. And for the last 2 weeks, I think we English have a really good turnout as well. Even during the first snow, Sunday, 2 weeks ago, we have over 40 people here. So that was really encouraging. So when we look at our country today, I think we all know that we need strong leadership. We need unity to face the challenge from outside. And also, we have our own internal issues over the years. I think you don't need me to go into that. So just at the time that we need unity, we need a strong government, but we have anything but that. Our leaders are busy on other issues that they are facing. So in our country, we need unity, strong leadership. But also in church, I'm not just talking about our church, but the universal church, the churches in the world. We're one big universal church. Also, we need unity and harmony. But let's start with our own DCAC church. We need unity and harmony. And the epistles of Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, was written to the Christians at that time. They were facing persecution, challenge from the outside world. So Peter encouraged them, in times like this, you have to unite together, have one mind, be strong, and face the persecution. Well, in Canada here, we have different kind of quote-unquote persecution. I mean, no one will throw it into jail for proclaiming our truth, not yet at least. But we also face a challenge from the outside world, from people outside the church. So the letters, 1st, 2nd Peter, is also applicable to us today as a body of Christ, as a church. And we have to be united to face the challenge from outside. So Peter, in chapter 3 here, first, he start off by saying, First Peter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Wow, there's a lot of teaching, encouragement, fitted into this one verse. Basically, this is that the church can just build on this one verse. But today I'm going to speak on more than just verse 8. But start off with one verse 8. Verse 8 is the key to a harmonious, a blessed church. And let's go into the teaching here from this just one verse. The very first thing that it reminded us, I'm sure that you have heard pastors, preachers talk about this. Be of one mind. In a church, we see here, let's talk about just our church, our body of Christ here. We have to be unity of mind, one mind. Some translation use the word harmonious. One mind doesn't mean that we don't have any opinion. We are not a cult here. We have to follow the leader. Every day he said, you have to follow. No, in a church here, we have different ideas. We have committees. In the last few months, we have a worship task force. They have been meeting for at least 10 times, I can think of 10 times, just to see how to improve our worship experience. So I want to thank the task force. They have been working very hard. They ended their their meeting last Sunday. And then they have many suggestions. I think I have accepted most of these suggestions. Otherwise, we even changed the bulletin. If you look at the bulletin, it's totally different. Right? So, except a few things, they want to repaint the church. I said, we better wait next time. So, we want to listen to different ideas. So unity of one mind is not saying that we don't have any, we just follow blindly what the leader, the great leader, tells us to do. No, we have different ideas. But the one mind here, the word homophone, is actually come from two Greek words. One is homo is together. And then the next word, meaning is very interesting, meaning actually one of our physical organ, a diaphragm, parts of the heart is actually meaning your heart or the faculty of perceiving and judging. Because in the Hebrew time, the Hebrews think that people think with their heart in those days. Today we know it is not, right? But in the Old Testament time, the Hebrews, they think that the thinking, your mind is actually from your heart. Actually, it's very similar to the Chinese culture. Right? We sometimes you think with your heart, right? But today we know it is not. So the word here is meaning together we have one heart, one mind. One mind meaning that we have one faith, one value, and one goal. So each church, local church, so VCAC is called a local church, but all the churches in the world belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, is the universal church. So each church has its own, our faith is all the same. So whether you go to the Chinese congregation, the Mandarin congregation, the English congregation, our faith is the same. It's all based on the Bible. But each church will have its own value. We want to emphasize. So being a Christian and missionary alliance church, so we have a strong emphasis on missions, overseas missions. So this year we have collected, as you all know, 260,000. That's a big amount for a church of our size. $260,000, and we send that money to the head office to missions. So that's our value of VCC. And we also emphasize on local missions. We support the Lighthouse Ministry, International Student Ministry, and other mission work. So each church has its own goal or emphasis. So when we say one my, so we have to share the core value, the goal, the emphasis of this church. So how do we do that? So you have to come to worship. So through the worship, I preach at all the congregations. So I want to make sure, so from day one when I pick up the church, I told the board I want to preach at every congregation. Even the 8 o'clock congregation is a small congregation. But I want all the congregations, Mandarin, Cantonese, English, to all listen to the same message so that we can all share. Not the same faith. I mean, the faith is all the same. We all talk about the Bible. All the churches talk about the same Bible. But each church has a different emphasis. We want to emphasize on mission, overseas mission, local mission, evangelism. So by coming here every Sunday, we can all share our goal together, can be reminded our goal together. So unity in mind. And then the next reminder here, Peter is telling us to be sympathetic, which is the Greek word, is almost the same. Sympathies. Right? I think that's where we corner the English word sympathetic. Sympathetic. We have to be sympathetic. Meaning that sympathetic, meaning we rejoice with those who rejoice. It's easy to come to a church wedding. Everybody's so happy. We like to go to weddings. So joyful. But we should come to our friends, church members, funeral as well. Sadly, as a pastor, we go to more funerals than weddings each year. So this year I've been to at least five or six, seven funerals. But we have to weep with those who weep. So that is sympathetic. I think we all born with sympathetic hearts. So last time when we were in Japan, Cynthia and I went to Japan with my sister, and then it was raining. The whole week was raining. And in Japan, they like to carry umbrellas. Here, we don't carry umbrellas. We like to just get wet. It's cool. People say that it's cool to get wet in the rain. Why are you carrying an umbrella? Right? But in Japan, everybody carry an umbrella. You can buy umbrella everywhere. So we bought one from the dollar shop. So as we are crossing the street, I forgot the name of the city, and then there was a lady standing next to me. From the way she dressed, I can tell she's probably a homeless person, right? And just from looking at her appearance, so she just stood next to me and it was pouring rain, and then we're waiting for the lights to cross the street. So everybody was carrying umbrella except her. So I don't know what to do, certainly. And from the way she looks, she's kind of a bit in her own world. So I suspect she may have some mental issues. So I just naturally, I think it's, everybody would do the same. I just put my umbrella over her head. She didn't say a word. I don't think she realized it was raining. So to her, it makes no difference. So I just put an umbrella over her head so people look at me with a strange look. This is a homeless people. Well, she'll probably be wet all day. So we crossed the street, and then she didn't say a word to me. So we happened to be walking in the same direction. So I just put my umbrella over her head. We walked for a few blocks, and she didn't say a word. And then eventually, I think I have to go my other way. I don't know where she lives. Right? So I just walked away, and then she didn't say anything. We just keep walking. She totally seems to be in a different world. I think we as a human, I think we all have this natural sympathy in our heart, isn't it? When somebody in need, it's just our nature to help somebody. So in a church, we are a family. So should we even be more sympathetic to our brothers and sisters? And sometimes when we listen to the things that people say, the things that we said, we are anything but sympathetic. So if we even can be sympathetic to people outside church, so how much more should we love our brothers and sisters in church? So in the next reminder, Peter said here, love one another. Philadelphos, in U.S., I shouldn't say anything about U.S. today. In U.S., there's a state called Philadelphia, right? That's the word. Philadelphia is brotherly love. We know that in the Greek, we have agape love, which is God's love. And then there's the brotherly love, family love, love of brothers and sisters, Philadelphos. So love one another like family members. So we are a family. So we have to keep reminding ourselves we are not a society. Even though we register as a charitable organization, but we are a family. The only reason we register because we have to follow the rules, the laws of the society. But we are a family. We don't need to register. We are a family. So we have to love each other like brothers and sisters and treat each other, be sympathetic, be compassionate, be the continue to move on, be compassionate. Compassionate is another interesting Greek word. It comprises of two words, EUS, and EU, and then spanchos. Spanchos, did I put it down? Spanchos meaning another interesting, bowels, our internal organs, kidneys, because the In the Old Testament time, the Hebrews believed that our deepest compassions is inside our organs. I mean, that makes some sense, right? So here, the word actually translates kidney. In Psalm, did I put it fine here? In Psalm, actually, this word was translated as, you can translate as your kidney, heart and kidney. But the real meaning behind it is our compassion. Our deepest compassion is inside ourselves, bowels, your organs, your kidney. So Peter here reminds us to be united, to be harmonious. As one church, we have to have a deep compassion. I think we love each other at church. At least when we come to church, I think we all love our pastors. We love our church leaders. It's just sometimes during the lunch time, I cannot control myself to say some nasty words about the pastor's sermon this morning or about my brothers and sisters, but I do love them. But this compassion has to come from not just surface, your lips, has to come from deep inside yourself. It has to be part of you. And as you all know, I love Peanuts cartoon. So according to Snoopy here, the theologian, he's typing a love letter. So it said, "Dear, I miss you more each day. I love you more than words can say." And Charlie Barnes said, "That's nice, but who are you writing to?" Who are you writing this love letter to? And I guess Snoopy's answer. I can always fill that in later. There's so much meaning in this. That means when Snoopy is writing this, he has nobody in mind. It's just this love coming out of his kidneys, internal organs. It's just this love just to overflow. And then he just write out, express this love. You can put your name in this letter. It could be to you, to anyone in the church. I think Snoopy here taught us a lesson. When you come to church, when you deal with people, this love has to be natural. Come out. It's a blank check. Just write your name on this check. Write your name on this love letter. I'm writing this letter to anybody, to everybody, not just because it's you that I like. I'm writing this letter to you because you are part of my family. So Peter here, encouraging us to love, be harmonious, one mind, and be humble. Humble meaning close to the ground. That's the literal meaning. You lay down and close to the ground. Be humble to each other. There's so much we can learn from this one verse. But then in the church, things are not always positive. And sometimes we experience some not so comfortable time, enjoyable time at church. When we are happy together, it's easy to love one another. But there are times, as we move on, people say some nasty things about us. And this is the time of the truth. So Peter here said, do not repay evil with evil. So for us, the church, to be together as one united in mind, harmonious church, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. There will be a time, I can guarantee you that even in this loving community, someone will give you a hard time. Someone will misunderstand you, or even purposely try to, I won't say harm you, maybe to annoy you. But in times like this, do not repay evil with evil or insult. Someone said something maybe unconsciously or purposely, still do not return insult with insult. There will be times that people will cannot control their tongue. This is the problem, I think, in any community, is people's words, language, the choice of words. Must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I cannot think of one single thing in church that hurt the unity of church more is our speech. We don't come to church. I never heard people will hit somebody in church and come to me and ask for judgment. It's usually the words that people said. Maybe that's the way some people speak, right? That's how someone express. But people get hurt. So we have to be careful. The power of words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we have to be careful. Our tongue can bring blessing to other people, but it can also can bring harm, hurt to others. So there was a young boy. Who always said hurtful things to his friends. So his father wanted to teach him a lesson. So he told this young boy and said, every time you said something bad, something that hurt other people, you take this hammer and a nail, you go out there and put this nail into the fence. So this boy, okay, I will follow your instruction. So every time, I said something I should not have said. So he will pick up the hammer and the nail, go to the fence in the backyard, and then he'll hammer this nail into the fence. So after a while, all the nails are gone. So the father said, now you go out there and take out all the nails. I said, wow, that's hard. If you have done any woodwork, King, you would know that putting a hammer in is easy. Taking it out is always hard to get a nail out. So finally, the boy got all the nails, pulled all the nails out. And then the father said, look at what's left behind. All these holes on the fence that will be very difficult to fill it up, to bring it back to its original state. So brothers and sisters, there's nothing more harmful than our words, our speech, and our language. So Peter here continue to say, so not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but, there's a big but here, but give blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose. During the ordination of Pastor Stephen, so I gave a 5 minutes encouragement. So I said that as a pastor, as a full-time minister, you have to be very clear of God's calling of you to be a minister. But here, Peter is telling everybody here that you are all called not to be a pastor, but you are all called to give blessing. Have you ever thought that this is a calling? A calling that means that everybody have to follow. If someone call you to be a missionary, you better follow God's calling. So here, God is calling everybody to give blessing instead of returning evil for evil, insult for insult. For you were called for this purpose. So what does the word blessing mean here? Does it mean that we will donate more money? We'll treat people to a nice dinner all the time, buy our pastor dark chocolate? No, those are nice things. I encourage you to continue to do. But here the blessing has a different meaning. The word blessing here means, again, it's made up of two Greek words. You, E-U, and logia. Logia, you is good, well. Logos, I think you all know, logos is word. John, first chapter. In the beginning, there is the logos. Logos is word, meaning speech, word. So eulogia here, the blessing, the word blessing here means we have to say nice things to others. So I look at the dictionary, the word eulogia, did I put it up? No, it doesn't matter. I'll say this to you. Eulogia meaning praise, benediction, consecration, blessing, benefit, good language. So we're saying nice things. Wow, saying nice things is a blessing. So you don't have to always buy your pastor. I shouldn't say that. Just continue to do that. Buy other people chocolate. Buy people good meal. All those are good. But saying nice things is already a blessing. So when this service is over, say something nice to the worship team, something nice to Modern Family leader, M&M, Marvin and Marine. Say something nice to our elders, Sunday school teachers, the one next to you. So that is already a blessing. There's nothing better than saying some, well, I'm not saying that, you're just saying randomly. I mean, you really have to mean it. Say nice things to other people. That is a benediction, a blessing. There is nowadays a famous author and counselor by the name of Larry Crabb. So when he was in ninth grade, so I'm just reading from his book. In the ninth grade, I was elected president of our junior high student body. During the assembly of the entire student body, I was asked by the principal to join him on the stage for the induction ceremony as the president of the student. But the only thing is that he has speech problems. He cannot speak properly. So standing nervously in front of the crowd, I was told to repeat after the principal the words. So the principal said, "I, Larry Crabs of this junior high school, do hereby promise." And then I just cannot even say out my name. I just shudder. And then I said, I you cannot even pronounce his name. So the principal was so perplexed. And then the English teacher just almost wanted to cry. Everybody was laughing. And then from that day on, I said that I will never do public speaking again. So a short time later, our church celebrated the Lord's Supper in a Sunday morning worship service. It was customary in our congregation to encourage young men to enter into the privilege of worship by standing up and praying out loud. So at that moment, I felt that the Holy Spirit called me. So I stood up and started praying out loud, except I said everything totally wrong. I said, thanking the Father for dying on the cross and praising Christ for bringing the Holy Spirit out of the grave. So everybody just started shaking. And then I realized I said something totally theologically wrong. So I was so embarrassed. So I sat down waiting for the service to finish. So I dashed out the back door. And then right at the back door, there was an elder there. He put down his name. I was not quick enough. An older Christian man named Jim Dumber intercepted me. I'm in trouble now. So Sunday school teacher is going to collect my theology. But he put his arm on my shoulder and cleared his throat to speak. And he said, "Larry, there's one thing I want you to know. Whatever you do for the Lord, I am behind you 1,000%. Then he walked away. As he said afterwards, "Even as I write these words, my eyes fill with tears. I've yet to tell that story to an audience without at least mildly shocking. So this one simple encouragement made a big difference on this young man, even years later. And Larry Crabb, later on, he became a famous American Christian counselor, author, Bible teacher, seminar speaker. He became the president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, professor at the Colorado Christian University. It's one simple encouragement. And that is the blessing that Peter here is talking about. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are honeycomb, who doesn't like honey? Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Let us be a blessing. Let us bring peace. He must seek peace and pursue it. Let's bring peace to our community. Let's not start battles. Let's encourage each other. Let's actively pursuing peace, harmony. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for the very purpose that you may inherit a blessing. So there is a return for it. Said the Pastor Norman, I'm just keep blessing everybody. Who's going to bless me? When you bless 50 people, 50 people will bless you if each one follow this formula of success for a church. You bless other people. So everybody, we have 50 people here, 60 people here, everybody bless each other. So you will receive 60 blessings that you might inherit a blessing. The word blessing here is the exact same Greek word as eulogia, the blessing instead. You give blessings, you may inherit a blessing. What a good deal. You give out one blessing to each person here, and everybody will give you one blessing, then you will have 60 blessings. I know it doesn't go that way, quantitatively. But you receive blessing from other people when you give away blessings. But if you instead were trying to come to church and receive blessing, everybody try to receive blessing, you will get not much. You will get it from the pastor, because the pastor will still bless you. But everybody try and come and get blessings, you will not receive that many blessings. But everybody come to church and give blessing to others, you all will inherit blessings. Lots of blessings. So there's a story. The master going away for a long trip. And then before he left, he said that I'm going to leave some food in this place here. And each of you will have all these are slaves. And each one of you will have a 2 meter long spoon. 2 meter long spoon. And the food is at the center. So you only allowed to hold the spoon at the end of the stick, the handle, right? You cannot cheat, because I got all these cameras filming you. So everyone is only allowed to hold the spoon at the end of the handle. And then you feed yourself all this, that's enough food here until I return. Now you can imagine holding a 2 meter long, even this looks like 1.5 meter, long hand stick spoon. It's really hard to feed yourself, right? So you can look at this lady here. She's trying really hard to feed herself, but it won't get into her mouth because the handle is just too long. So after a few days, they're getting all hungry. You can tell they're all getting not being fed very well, you can tell. And then they're all getting frustrated. Cannot feed themselves. So the food spill on his shirt, on the floor, on the ground, into the hole. And then some get really mad and then start fighting, like hitting each other's spoon. So somebody's spoon get knocked down to the well. So this guy is really sad. Now I don't have a spoon now. So I want to starve to death. So sad. There's food at the center. But then suddenly, he saw a spoon of food in front of him. So what? That's the pastor. So who's sending this food over? So the lady, the other slave, across from him, feeding him the food. But then the spoon handle is quite long. So after a few seconds, she gets tired. She cannot hold on to the spoon. So what happened next? So next is the people start putting the spoon under her spoon of food to support her. So every one by one, they all put their spoon under this lady's spoon so that she can feed the food to this poor guy who now doesn't even have a spoon. And then now he can enjoy the food. And even the color of the picture change, become more colorful. He is blessed because someone is blessing him. And then the next thing is, oh, so this is the trick, the formula to feeding ourselves. So each one will pick up the food and feed the person next to him or to her. And then now they're feeding each other. So they're feeding this lady who fed the other guy. And then she is blessed. So everybody is feeding each other. So everyone is blessed. This is what Peter is teaching us here. We have to, this is our calling, is to bless others. And when we bless other people, we will inherit the blessing. What a good investment. What a good deal. This is truly, this will become a blessed community. We read earlier, verse 10, one must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I did not read to you at that time. It was before that. For the one, if you do that, for the one who desires life, to love and see good days. When you keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit, you will desire life. You will see good days. So there's always a promise of blessing when we follow God's instructions. In Matthew 5:9, when we are peacemakers, then we shall be called Son of God. Verse 12, 1 Peter 3, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. Not only that, we receive blessing from other people when we bless others. Even the Lord himself, his eyes will be upon you, are towards the righteous, towards you, and his ears, eyes and ears, and he will listen to your prayers. Why is your prayer not listened by God? Because you're not trying to bless others to follow God's instruction. But when you do that, verse 12 here said, the eyes of the Lord are toward you, and his ears will listen to your prayer. What a blessing. Giving a blessing instead of cursing other people. For you were called for the very purpose. This is God's calling for all of us, to bless other people so that we can be blessed, so that God will listen to our prayer. Let's pray. Father, help all of us, remind all of us, excite all of us to be a person who brings blessing to other people. And you promise in return, you will look over us. You care for us. You bless us abundantly. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.